Here we go. Here we go.
Thank you for listening to Stoop Kids, a Hey Arnold podcast. Those other podcasts are going to clean our clocks, no bout a doubt it. I'm Cody Narveson, and you can find me on Twitter at Cody_BH.
I'm Harry Mack, and you can find me on Twitter at Shiitake Harry.
And I'm Emily Suey. You can find me on Instagram at Emily Suey.
He's young, he's pink, he's in a hurry. It's super producer Jason Daphnis, who you can find on Twitter at Nintendoofus. You can also keep up with the podcast on Twitter and Instagram at Stoop Kids Pod. She loves what you do for her, as my customers love what it is I do for them. But she does not love you, David. She cannot love you. You are neither flesh nor blood. You are not a dog, a cat, or a canary. You were designed and built specific like the rest of us, and you are alone now only because they tired of you, or replaced you with a younger model, or were displeased with something you said, or broke. They made us too smart, too quick, and too many. We are suffering for the mistakes they made, because when the end comes, all that will be left is us. That's why they hate us. And that is why you must spell kids with a Z. Also with us today is a very special guest. Please welcome back to the show, dare I say, the people's champ, Dan Nagin. Dan, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great. It's great to be back in the ring. I'm ready to go three rounds with everyone and talk about what is undoubtedly going to be a normal episode to discuss.
Undoubtedly normal, as all our episodes are, especially all of our episodes with you. So I'm very much looking forward to it. It should be noted, we are here today to talk about episode 86 of Hey Arnold. For those of you keeping track at home, beat. That is season 5, episode 6, going by production code order. We're going to start, as we always do, with episode A, which is called Helga's Locket. Original air date, April 19th, 2000. The Wikipedia-sanctioned episode summary is as follows. Helga inscribes her name in her Arnold locket. Arnold's grandpa gets a hold of Helga's locket. He thinks it is an anniversary gift from Grandma, so Helga must find a way to get it back before Arnold finds out her secret. And as we always do, shouting out the fine folks who made this episode possible. This time around, it was Frank Weiss in the director's chair and Joseph the Purdman Purdy in the patented writer's recliner. Let's get to some takes. Emily, we'll start with you. What did you think about Helga's locket?
What's up, Cody? Let me see what I got here. Helga's locket. I think this episode is very funny because Grandpa's the star, as he is the star of the whole show. But he has such good lines. His deliveries are all so funny, so well timed. I just wrote down a bunch of his lines are basically the gist of my notes. But as far as themes and stuff, we're dealing with Arnold being a bit embarrassed, and so the episode deals with him kind of grappling with feelings of embarrassment because Grandpa is proudly going all around town with this locket of his grandson's picture, a gold heart locket that is actually Helga Pataki's. He's showing everyone in town this locket and proudly screaming at everyone about it. And Arnold Locket over here, and just saying awesome things throughout it about how much he's absolutely adores this thing. And yeah, so we're dealing with Arnold being embarrassed about that. It's, you know, he kind of tries to talk to Grandpa about it earlier in the episode, and then he later learns he's got to like be a little bit more direct about those feelings and kind of tell him, which I guess he tells him a few times, but he's more direct at the end in telling him to please, you know, let's switch that picture out for, you know, one of Grandma. That would be more appropriate. Or he's stating his boundaries and all of that with Grandpa, even though it's really funny that Grandpa loves this locket so, so, so much. But yeah, I just wrote down all of the funny Grandpa lines. We also see a great Helga outfit as she's undercover trying to steal the locket back from Grandpa at the boarding house. a lot of my favorite lines were coming out of that conversation when she's undercover. So she first sits down, she's got the mustache and outfit on, and she goes, you know, that's a, you know, really nice locket you got there. It might be worth something. And Grandpa's line of just going, oh, why, thank you. I'm very, very fond of it. He's goofier than ever, I feel, in this episode with his readings. It's, you know, it's true to character, but yet it's to the nth degree of the goofy grandpiness. And then he's going, wow, really? A locket with my wonderful grandson Arnold's picture on it worth thousands and thousands of dollars? Oh, I'm over the moon. And so just lines like that, I love very much. And then Helga stealing it and him screaming at her that she's a cheap imposter of a charlatan. Yeah. And we see Arnold and Grandpa in the basement trying to fix or open the locket. And that whole scene reminded me a lot of The Simpsons. There's like Arnold handing him the soda and all the tools, and he's got a sandwich going, and it just made me think of Homer and Bart hanging out in the basement in a related show because of Simpsons Arnold family overlaps. But I think I've said enough. I think it's really funny. I think Grandpa's the best character ever of all time. And I love that he loves this locket, and I want to hear what y'all think about it too.
I second your nomination for Grandpa in the pantheon of greatest characters ever, forever. He should be getting, I think, his Lifetime Achievement Award at the Oscars or whatever the next appropriate award show is. So stay tuned for that. We'll surely have live coverage. They're inviting us to the red carpet and everything. In the meantime, though, we better get some more takes out there. We'll go to Harry next. Harry, what'd you think of this particular locket?
Hey, thanks, Cody. I don't know that I've ever been turned around on an episode as quickly. I admittedly, maybe this was too cynical of me, but I came in ready to sort of be bored by this episode because I think my chief criticism of season 5 so far has been that they kind of enjoy reusing plots from earlier in the series. This episode is not beating those allegations, shall we say. Literally, it's about Helga breaking into the boarding house to get back something that belongs to her that compromises her secret with Arnold that somehow got into the boarding house. I think this is either the third or fourth time that this has happened. However, like I said, I turned around almost completely when I realized that this was going to be a weird Helga versus Grandpa episode. And I think that's such a great idea for an episode for all of the reasons that Emily just stated really well. I also really like that Emily pointed out that Grandpa is really on one this episode, like much more than usual. It's like the way I would describe it is like he has some sort of awareness that he is a cartoon character in the cartoon and seems to be just having as much fun with that role as possible. It's like Dan Castellaneta himself was like ported into Hey Arnold. And it really feels like that was the direction that they gave him because he's really going bigger with all of his line readings. And I really love to see this side of Arnold as well. I love that without realizing it, he and Helga are kind of at cross purposes, right? That's introduced at sort of the end of the second act, shall we say, or maybe the first act where Arnold is like, I got to get this locket back too, right? So yeah, I think that, you know, I don't know that there's like a lot to chew on in this episode, but I think that it demonstrates the sort of like agile humor and sharpness of like late era Hey Arnold really well, particularly their willingness to just like really lean into the over-the-top nature of their characters. Helga's also very over-the-top in this episode in a great way, as she always does. Like Helga's got some of the best line deliveries ever. One of my personal favorites is when she's sneaking into Grandpa's room to steal the locket and she goes, oh, the old prune's asleep or something like that. Really good. Just a lot of really great jokes and really iconically memorably absurd moments. One of my personal favorites again is when Helga is dangling the magnet off of the fishing pole outside of the Sunset Arms while Grandpa is sitting on the stoop outside and she nearly hangs him with the locket, and he is pretty nonplussed by that. He does in fairness, go back inside, but he's lifted off the ground by the locket and is clearly choking. And then when he's finally let go because Helga loses control of the magnet, he's just like, "What was that?" And he just goes back inside. Lots of really great little twists. Really funny how Helga eventually does get the locket back. Love the little shout out with Lila's picture that she tears up. Love that Grandpa robs Arnold in his room of the dollar. I think that like this episode has a really particular energy that is sort of like one of the templates of late Hey Arnold episodes where like we're just kind of getting silly with it. But I really like that energy for some of these, especially for an A episode like this. And so I really like this episode a lot, and I can see myself coming back to it quite often when I just want to watch a really fun episode of Hey Arnold. But what did everybody else think, especially Dan?
Ooh, especially Dan. Dan's batting cleanup, so we'll be, I can see him, he's about to burst. He's got so much to say about this episode. It's wild. He's stewing, he's steaming. He's giving me fisticuffs. I'm in danger, dear listener, but, I really like this episode. One of my favorites, of the episode, or favorite episodes of the season so far, I should say. Just, you know, kind of really quick. I don't have a lot to add other than what's been put out there so far. But I'm very much in line with what folks have brought up. Emily, what you said, and actually and Harry as well, Grandpa being really on one. And I think that is an element of this episode that really makes this, like, he needs to be sort of on one in order for this to work in the way that it does, because he is way goofier. And Arnold, to a certain extent, is also like, he's not dumber. He is. Something about him needs to function a little different, where he's like with it enough to know that this locket situation is a little embarrassing for me, but he's not with it enough to know that Helga's rolled up in a rug down by his feet, or something along those lines. So like that is an energy that really, really works for me. I loved the slapstick and the hijinks that this episode brought forth. And I do like that this is, you do feel the DNA of previous Hey Arnold episodes in this episode, where it's Helga looking to recover something from the boarding house. You know, she's lost something dear to her, usually tangentially related to Arnold or directly related to Arnold. She needs to get it back. I love the kind of season 5 evolutionary twist of like, well, actually now Arnold is in pursuit of that as well. So there's this sort of, I don't know, the mechanisms of that pursuit are a little bit different. And I thought that was really fun. So that's kind of where I'm at with Helga's Locket. I really enjoyed it. And as we alluded to, batting cleanup for the Hillwood City Stoop Kids, number 69, Dan Negan.
And the crowd goes wild because they know that Dan is coming in here to swing wildly at nothing. So before I rewatched this episode today, I had a very different take on it, where the energy of this episode is just, it struck me as so bizarre. Where I watched, I was like, what is happening here? This is just straight up a Looney Tunes cartoon where Helga is Wile E. Coyote and Grandpa is the Roadrunner. And tonally, like, I was like, I was so thrown off. And I had to re-listen and go back to some of your season 5 episodes that have come off, because I was just like, is this what season 5 has been like? Like, what is happening with this season? Because the first time I watched this, I was like, this episode's running on fumes. They got nothing left in the tank. Purdy is just like, I don't know, the pig takes the locket, and it's like, how's that going to cause strife? It's like, I don't know, she just got it engraved or something. Throw it together, guys. But I do agree. I rewatched it earlier and I was like, the comedy hits. It's very funny. Grandpa, all my notes are basically just Grandpa's lions. Like him asking Helga dressed up as Bernard Flotsam, oh, do you want a loose meat sandwich? Like, bizarre. Like, this whole episode is bizarre. Opening just a trunk, and it's filled with mannequin heads, and that's why Helga is not seen. Like, it's the energy is so out there. And, like, I don't know. I think the first time I watched this, I was just like having a day because it did not hit for me. And I was like, I was so grumpy and unhappy with it. I was like, this episode stunk. But the second go around, pretty good, especially because when Grandpa is doing the requests down at the workshop bench, one of them, he asks for a phaser and they do a Star Trek sound effect, which I was like, nice. Nice. But I don't know. This is it's a bizarre episode because, like, so often, like, these episodes seem to at least be grounded in a little bit of reality. And in this one, Helga just stays at the boarding house for like an entire day. She does not go home. She's there at night. She's breaking into every single room. She gets a magnet somehow. Like, are magnets just around? And it's, I don't know, it's very strange.
It is really strange. And I think on top of the sort of, I mean, like, we've already appropriately called it out, how things that Grandpa says and does, how those things feed into the bizarre energy of this episode. And all of y'all have been kind of calling them out, but just to put a finer point on it, there's some, like, the peripheral details and environment and almost sight gags of this episode, or some of the choices they make that are just a little, I don't know, different from what I would expect. And they're not inherently funny, but they do add to that sort of bizarre flavor. The fact that the jewelry store is like right across the street from the boarding house, which is like not necessarily like a funny, like it's something that shows due to, I mean, it's like how when Simmons became principal, that one karaoke bar was right across the street from PS 118. Like, that's just something TV shows do, but that is something that, coupled with the fact that it was like, what, 1995 for a custom gold locket, which is like, that seems I like, it's not cheap enough to be like a joke because it is like very cheap, but it's also like not, it's clearly not a nice thing. So it's like, I spent way too much time thinking about that. The box of mannequin heads is also another one where it's like, why are those there? But now we know that our favorite band, The National, now we know where they got their head for their the Tropic Morning News. It's Dan knows what I'm talking about, and all you National heads out there know what we're talking about.
This explains so much. I've always wondered about that, and you just cleared this mystery up. I sit up at night thinking about The National and where they got that head constantly.
I knew exactly what you mean. I'm in the same boat. Mystery solved. Zoink Scoob. But yeah, just again, wanting to add a little more pointed flavor to that conversation about this being a bizarre episode. And we're all the better for it, dare I say. Dare I say.
Yeah, I think Cody, you brought this up, but it's sort of one of those things where, like, it needs to lean into that absurdity in order to differentiate itself and in order to make the style of comedy that it's going for really stick, which it does. Dan, I'm really glad you point out just what a departure from a typical episode this is, because I think that viewed sort of in abstract, especially when I'm thinking about other episodes like it, it doesn't really stand out that much. But you're exactly right. It's just a Looney Tunes cartoon at this point. This is the same show that has like Pigeon Man as an episode, right? So it's really wild that we can have such big tonal shifts and that so many of the shifts can work so well, right? It's like, this is like a special comedic episode of Hey Arnold, which I like. It kind of reminded me the most of Helga's Parrot, if anything, right? And kind of got me thinking again about our sort of pet, no pun intended, theory of those episodes, right? Where like there's something about Helga's reluctance to tell the truth that has created this sort of like universal imbalance that now karma itself within this cartoon universe is trying to balance out, right? And so like that really works for me when it's taken to the like cosmic absurd degree that it is here, where it seems to be even affecting Grandpa himself as this sort of like agent of chaos. And I like this episode too, sort of like posits maybe that it's also affecting Arnold, right? Because it's sort of like, in as far as it's ridiculous that Helga has not stated her feelings for Arnold, it is becoming equally ridiculous that Arnold cannot see what's going on with he and Helga. And so I kind of love that these are these two, like, these characters who are sort of like oblivious to the like world that they're living in. Well, that world does everything in its power to drive them together, right? Like, I think that this is sort of a great example of how Craig Bartlett's sort of assertion that Helga and Arnold might be soulmates could be literally true in the like ontology or the metaphysics of the Arnold world, right? Because it's like, it, in this episode, it feels like I'm getting frustrated, right? It's like, how can this be happening? Like, why is this happening to our girl and to Arnold? And like, when is it going to end? And you can almost feel the frustrations of the writers bubbling up into that in some really fun ways. But, you know, keep them on the razor's edge as long as possible, in my opinion, especially if it creates episodes like this.
Comparing this to The Simpsons like Emily did is really on point. It seems like they just gave Dan Castellaneta like all the runway to go with whatever he felt like for this one. And like Harry, you said, like, this is like the fourth time they've done this plot. The only differentiation is just that they just paired up like these two characters that don't really interact that often and had them play off of each other. And I think those, that's what I like with these latter day episodes of Hey Arnold, where they, you see them just pair up characters where it's like, oh, I wouldn't have thought to put these two together, but it works. And just dialing it up to just such a level of absurdity makes it work. Whereas I, like, if this played it more straight, this would be a complete dud of an episode, I think.
Yeah, I really like that this episode is such a silly, cartoony cartoon version of the show. It's maybe the show at its most cartooniest. But I was thinking back to other moments about it that make me feel that way. And I guess I was thinking about how some of the characters, especially Arnold and Grandpa, when they're walking around the boarding house in this episode, they're talking to themselves a lot, too. So even just stuff like that, which happens in other episodes, I'm sure, but I notice it more here, and it kind of leaned nicely into the goofy energy they have going. And then even just the very beginning, which I love so much, is that the locket ends up in the boarding house. Grandma sees it first, picks it up, is like, oh, my goodness. And Grandpa walks into the kitchen, and presumably it's like their anniversary or something. And she hands this to him, and he's like, oh, Pookie, you remembered. And Grandpa's immediately so in love with this locket of Arnold's picture in a heart. It's just really funny. And I don't know. I love the energy of this episode.
What I love as well is how much no one else that Grandpa shows the locket to cares. Like, he shows it to everyone on the street, and no one cares, to the point where he's like showing it off to Mr. Green and the woman that runs the plant shop, and they don't give him anything. He's just like, all right, well, I'm just gonna read the paper, which is great. And I want to give a shout out just to the I'm sorry, Cody, if I'm jumping ahead at all, but just the jeweler is fantastic. Just that he sounds like Droopy Dog, and he's just like this little run upon man. How often is it that Helga just outright threatens an adult in this show? Like, that is wild energy for her to be giving.
Yeah, it rocks. She's the best. I had that as a shout out too, the fact that Helga just threatens and then robs this jeweler. Just walks out the front door.
That's, oh boy, that I, well, I, yeah, if we do want to get into shout outs, the only other thing I was going to say was actually a sort of plus one for what Emily noted about, and what I didn't realize during the episode, during my rewatch, but the fact that there are more instances of characters talking to themselves. And I'm thinking about, like, in this episode or any other episode, you can really afford to let Grandpa have scenes where he's just like monologuing out loud, like doing Shakespearean soliloquies, but just like about like what he's thinking, what he's doing, never eat raspberries, etc. Because you have the cheat code that is Dan Castellaneta, who can do a whole half episode, a whole full episode, quadruple the length. I don't care, where it's just him talking as grandpa. Like that would be an A1 top episode, easy. Like an all-timer.
Yeah, you know, it really is, like, we've shouted him out many times before, but it really is kind of wild that Hey Arnold has, who I don't even know if it's controversial to say, like, perhaps the most famously talented cartoon voice actor who ever lived. Like, Dan Castellaneta is, like, right up there.
I mean, if we wanted to do like a Mount Rushmore scenario, you got Dan Castellaneta, Mel Blanc has to be up there. For sure. Who else we got? I'm sort of out of touch with animated programming that isn't Hey Arnold, but who are some of the other? I was going to say Frank Welker. That's not necessary. I mean, that voice acting for sure. Frank Welker's got to be up there, right?
Frank Welker is on there for the sheer amount of cartoon dogs that he has voiced.
Yeah, that's a good point. Tom Kenny is definitely a candidate. Thank you, super producer Jason Daphnis in the chat.
Christopher Sabat, voice of Vegeta on Dragon Ball Z. Got to be on there.
Sure. Yeah. who voiced Ash Ketchum? I feel like they for that have to be... You know what I mean?
I don't know.
The English voice actor
strong,
for...
But it's... I don't know.
I mean,
actually,
I think that
does.
The problem is that Ash has been played by a bunch of different women through time.
Yeah, I suppose.
Because
that's
he's
true.
Been a 10-year-old boy for 25 years, I think, conservatively.
Yeah, but yeah, good for Ash. He's finally retiring.
That's true.
Yeah, I was going to say, we're getting into conversations about mortality that I'm not ready to have, so we can pivot away from the Mount Rushmore discussion.
We're going back to that next.
I was going to say, buddy. I got news for you, pal.
Sorry Listen, to tell you.
But we got to pace ourselves, is what I'm saying. Any other shout-outs for Helga's Locket before we wrap this one up?
I was also just going to throw it. I think Rugrats has some pretty memorable voice acting. Tommy Pickles.
Yeah, really good
Chucky,
point.
All, yeah.
Tara Strong. Yeah.
E.G. Daly is who voiced Tommy Pickles.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Absolutely.
Also voiced
right.
Stu Pickles in the baby in the episode Sour Pickles. Shout out to the Pickles family. Shout out to Arnold's family. Shout out to Grandpa. I'll just throw out two other lines. One was, he was saying, but I love my Arnold Locket. I'm going to wear it 24/7. And then also, when he is talking to himself and he's in Arnold's room, steals the dollar from Arnold's desk. He goes over, finds the locket on the bed, picks it up, and kisses it. And I just thought that was beautiful.
All right, the moment of Arnold not knowing 24/7 was baffling. Like, Harry, you made the comment, I think, of how Grandpa and Arnold don't necessarily seem dumber in this episode, but I think that they do. Like, there's so much, like they're so obtuse about so many things, and it's like, why even have this moment of Arnold not knowing 24/7 is so strange.
Yeah, but the whole episode, it just has that energy, you know?
Although I will also say, just another shout out to Dan Castellaneta. They got him to do the YU in this, and it sent shivers down my spine hearing him just do the Homer line. And I was like, oh, that hit.
Amen, brother. One final shout out, and it is to me, because Emily, you said the word pickles a lot, and it got me thinking about one soft resolution I have this year for myself, which is to be more okay with eating pickles. I've not been a huge pickle guy. The consumption of pickles, that's been a blind spot on my palate, of consuming food for quite a while now. But you know what? Before this episode, before we started recording, I went to Potbelly's. Got myself a sandwich, had some pickles on it. You know what? Wasn't that bad. Maybe this will be easier than I thought. So we're getting there. I'm not perfect, Dan.
I'm baffled by this. I'm truly, this is more baffling than the energy of this episode. This is enough of a problem that this was a resolution to
right,
you to
that,
eat
well,
pickles.
That wasn't
a problem.
That's the part that's getting
it's
to be
enough
is,
of a thing.
He's framing this up as if it's like self-improvement. It's like, well,
it is.
I'm not perfect. I have to eat more pickles.
Are there other
those are distinctly your words and not mine.
I need what? More pickles in 2023 challenge.
No, not to eat more pickles, but just like I had actively avoided pickles.
2023 goal, eat a pickle. Check.
Who has actual physical checklists where they're writing things off?
This is I do.
2023. I hold up a notepad everywhere. For notes for this episode.
I have 30 checklists in my room.
Are any of them pickle related?
Any of you tough guys make resolutions? Any of you care about self-improvement?
I have, yes. Yeah? None of them included food-related goals.
Well, I'm sorry you have perfect nutrition and everything else that you're satisfied with that.
Are pickles nutritious? I don't know that pickles are necessarily... I don't know.
They're vegetable.
I don't know if they are.
I mean, they're vegetable. They're vinegar, basically,
but
though.
They're like,
yeah.
They're like vinegar's a junk good. Food vegetable.
Yeah.
It's like you took a vegetable and you made it.
Are you now
trash.
Arguing that we should that people should not eat junk
not,
food?
This
What's
is,
going on?
This is not me naysaying or poo-pooing
on highest
on
of horses
pickles.
Over there.
I love pickles. It's just baffling that this was a thing that you thought about.
I'm not typically a big like resolutions guy. I was like, hey, you know what would be like a cool thing? Just like, hey, you know what? I've got nothing going on. Hey, pickles. Maybe I should try those out for once. Maybe that'd be something.
I've got nothing going on, but
I got nothing going on.
Snap into some, a nice big pickle, as you do.
Nobody has ever
as
said
do.
Snap into a nice. Big
I don't know that anybody's
pickle.
Ever said my New Year's resolution is to eat more pickles either, pal. I think that's a glass house.
Those were not my words.
I mean, also, words. We're still waiting on you to eat a banana split. Is that
that
is
coming?
Still right?
That I haven't forgotten about.
That's got to be 2024, right? Probably
you can't do too many food.
Yeah,
things
he's you're all scheduled out with this pickle thing. You've
I can got
do going
I can do however
year.
Many. You don't think I can do two food things in 1 year? Man,
well,
y'all think so little.
All right,
of
man.
Me.
We're just you know checking your ambition a little bit, but you got to live your truth. You got to do what
you know,
what,
buddy.
Do.
Much like Arnold, I too have a dollar at my desk. This dollar says that you don't eat that banana split.
Oh, I'm looking forward to earning Dan's dollar. Stay tuned for this one. We're going to go try and better ourselves, or at least some of us are, a little bit at a time. You know, we're just doing our best one day at a time. We're going to eat pickles. We're going to raise the Titanic. We're going to do whatever else before getting into episode B. So sit tight. Don't touch that dial. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Stoop Kids, a Hey Arnold podcast. We've got episode 86B up next, and that episode is called Sid and Germs. Original air date April 19th, 2000. The Wikipedia-sanctioned episode summary is as follows. Sid becomes obsessed with cleanliness after watching a film on germs. His new obsession with being clean ruins the fourth grader's chances at the frog-catching match. The match against the fifth graders. The frog-catching match. Thank you, Wikipedia, for that, and thank you to the following folks who made this episode possible. Christine Kolosov directed this one, and Antoinette Stella wrote it. So shout-outs all around. Harry, let's kick it to you first this time. What did you think about Sid's Germs?
Hey, thanks, Cody. This is a really memorable episode for me. It gets a little bit too real, maybe. It's one of the big Sid episodes I always think of first when I think of the character. I distinctly remember the nightmare that Sid has about the germs because of how bad it freaked me, the kid, out when it came out. I've said before on this podcast, I'm very similar to Sid, or at least I was at his age, where I was a very anxious person. I was often... This exact sort of scenario would happen where I would learn about something at school. I can distinctly remember, like, learning about spiders laying eggs got to me once, watching in sixth grade a movie about the ancient Incans and their human sacrifices really got to me once. But the BFG, as I think I've talked about before, has gotten to me before. But something would happen at school where I would learn about something, we would watch a video like this one, and it would just become my entire life for like the next 24 to 48 hours. And it would be like, it would lead to massive shifts in my personality, massive anxiety. anxiety attacks. I would want to stay home from school. I don't know that I ever became a germaphobe necessarily, but I think something like that would happen. So I really like this episode because it feels like something that actually, I mean, it did happen to me. And like, it feels like something that happens to kids like Sid a lot, right? Where like, when you're this age, you just like, you have trouble like sort of managing your emotional anxiety as you learn about new things, right? And it leads to some wild overcorrections in some cases. We all love Sid, right? Like, I love that he starts the episode as like, Sid only has one speed, right? Like, my man has got to go. Like, he's either the dirtiest boy who ever lived, kissing frogs, king of the swamp, or his life is, what do they keep saying? It's like sterile and hermetically sealed, I think it is. They keep talking about being hermetically sealed. So that's the other thing, is that I love a dramatic king. So I really love how deeply dramatic Sid is. I think that there's something part and parcel with anxiety and drama that really makes this make sense and makes Sid feel like such a realized child character in a way that is, even within a show about so many kids that are so realized, I think that he's a particularly vivid character just because he feels so much more like a real fourth grader than a lot of like kids in shows and even in this show. Like, I just think that like the sort of like weird social problems that a kid like Sid has, they're really good to talk about in episodes like these, and I really love that he's become a sort of vessel for that. One other thing that's always kind of bothered me about this episode is how mercenary Arnold is, where like it's explicitly framed up from the beginning that Arnold is like, well, we need Sid to get over this pronto because I got to win that fish or that that frog match, as you put it, as Wikipedia put it. And throughout the episode, he's like really coming hard after Sid, not necessarily to get his own friend, his old friend back, though that is how he couches it, but mostly because he really wants to win this contest, which I'm a little bit like, I mean, I'm glad it all worked out, but dang, Arnold, like, you really are like results oriented in this episode, in a way that's very funny. But yeah, overall, I think it's a really good episode. I remember finding it as a kid, like, resonant. Like, I could recognize myself in it. And that's still kind of true to this day, right? Like, I'm no longer, thank God, quite this anxious in my day-to-day life. I think that I'm a little bit more stable now that I'm 30 years old. But hey, still got a feeling in here. So, yeah. I like this episode a lot. I think it's sort of a really good Sid episode, a particularly memorable Sid episode, and an episode that I think is like, I think how funny it is and how character-driven sort of belies its actual relative importance to the audience that it's probably courting. So yeah, I think it's a really good episode, but what does everybody else think?
Yeah, what do you all think? Emily, let's pivot to you next. What did you think about Sid and Germs, or How I Learned to Stop Worrying and Love the Germs?
Yeah, this is quite an episode. I was definitely curious about it because I know Dan had mentioned it in the past, wanting to snag this one. So can't wait to hear your thoughts, Dan. But I definitely can relate to it. And like Harry was saying, seeing something like the video Mr. Simmons shows the kids in this episode, which is like super scare tactic-y and black and white and very, very serious. And then just the lights come on and, you know, most of the kids go about their days. But for Sid, this is something else. This is something he's going to change his life over, and his personality even, for the day at least. But I could definitely relate to it. I remember, especially in seventh grade, and I think it was like biology class in middle school or something, but my teacher put on a video about like something that was, I don't know, skin mites or something gross, but it's like microscopic, the little bugs that are all over all of us and there's nothing you could do about it. One of those types of science videos. And something like that could really freak out a kid like me or like Sid, or like make you think about it too much. You get home, you're trying to go to sleep. Oh my God, what's going to come to mind? The damn science video your teacher showed you earlier in the day. So can relate to Sid and am a germaphobe myself, which has only gotten worse in the pandemic times. But it kind of goes all over the place as far as, how Arnold treats this situation. And I think the writers are almost like course correcting for actual teachers or videos that are shown in schools that are like this. It doesn't like straight up spell out like personal hygiene tips or anything that that maybe be for more of a educational show on PBS or something for younger kids or preschoolers. But it does kind of like, I don't know. Yeah, I think course correct a little bit just because you do see so much of that in school. And you're sort of left to your own devices at the end of the day with it. And you're just sort of, supposed to manage it and not necessarily, a lot is thrown at you in classes like that, especially science classes. And so, this one is kind of an interesting look at the writers addressing that in a goofy way with Sid. And what else did I think about it? I think that we knew Sid liked frogs though, because we saw him with the frog on his head in the fishing trip episode this season. And his character makes a lot of sense with the frog drawings and I don't know, or the way they've styled him with the frogs. I like his pet frog. It all works out in the end. So that's nice. And I'll kick it back over to you.
Yeah, no, thank you. And I agree. This was nice. A fun pairing overall. A really fine week to be indulging in a classic Nickelodeon Nicktoons. We were talking about it pretty recently. I think as recently as a couple episodes ago, if that, but, the show leveraging Sid's paranoia for hilarious outcomes, and this episode is no different. It really leans into that. It is nice to see this other side of Sid where he's getting muddy and then has to undergo a little bit of growth, learn some things. He realizes the power of cinema from watching this movie about germs. So that's really cool. Sid's friends, his classmates, as he is sort of in the thick of it in his hazmat suit, Harold and Helga especially are being real jerks to him, like really, really sad, sick stuff where they're like coughing on him and being like, "Ooh, Sid, here's a germ." And I felt bad about that. And not to say that all of that was entirely founded, but Sid has been one of the biggest, like, I think offenders as far as like being a bad friend to other people on the show, which is, again, which isn't to say that the actions in this episode by non-Sid students are entirely justified, but in the back of my head, I was kind of like, okay, like, so we are sort of, I don't know, we're attempting to not even balance the scales, but just to provide a little bit of counterbalance, get Sid's rear a little bit, for not to get him back, you know what I mean? Just like seeing that other side of it was pretty fun. Seeing Sid bullied, but then overcoming it was really fun and nice. Seeing him, in his room, like really going through some stuff. This was a really nice, like, I think those scenes with Sid, like his fantasy sequences and him like undergoing all that stuff. I really liked how those were animated and I really liked just how those played. Based on how Sid's room has been in previous episodes, it's been like very messy. And the fact that this episode he went through and cleaned it, which like number one, because it's a messy room that canonically it needs cleaning, but, also because he is in this particular phase where he's a germaphobe. That was, I don't know, just the continuity there really landed nicely with me. And then finally, a big fan of the frogs in this episode. I think Sydney was the pet frog's name, so Sid and Sydney, which is also very fun. Big fan of Sydney. Big fan of all the frogs swarming Sid, literally swarming Sid at the end. That was very funny and wholesome. One of my favorite moments of the season so far. So yeah, big fan of Sid, his germs, his frogs, a fan of Dan as well. And his dollar. I like his dollar very much. But Dan, what did you think about this episode?
Thank you so much for throwing it to me. And, Yeah, as Emily mentioned, this is one that has come up previously, and this is the episode why I'm here, because this is one that stuck in my head, because kind of like what Harry said, I was a very anxious kid too, and the fears that Sid shows here, and I think it's a very ubiquitous childhood experience of seeing something, learning just the bare minimum about something, just that something exists, and being consumed with fear about it is so, I think that's a common childhood experience. And I think, yeah, a lot of them, like Emily mentioned, happened because of science, and you find out about something and it's like, oh no, this is going to happen to me. And this episode plays so differently 2023 compared to how it played when it first aired in 2000. And I got to say, doesn't hit that well anymore, folks. Helga coughing on the bat to freak out Sid doesn't play great to me anymore.
Really sick stuff.
Not great. Hey, Arnold, you know, Sid is kind of based being afraid about germs and not wanting to stick frogs in his mouth. And Arnold's like, get out there, champ. We need you. Put this team on your back.
He's like, I know you're going through something right now, but you got to put the team first.
We need that frog catching trophy. You didn't think about that. Did you think about us when you were thinking about not wallowing in mud and getting soaked to the bone and putting frogs all over you? Come on, buddy. What about us? Like, this is one the whole time I was thinking about what Craig has said about this show giving kids kind of tools to navigate life. And what is this episode telling kids to take away from it? Which is like, you know, don't worry about that much about germs. Get over it, buddy. Get out there. Like, there's kind of a middle ground that this episode could have fallen in, where Sid could have, like, and it's a thing that I've been struggling with myself after the COVID pandemic of, like, you can't not live your life to some extent. Like, eventually you do kind of have to get out there again and realize, like, you can't just be enclosed inside of your room and not live a real life, and you have to kind of go out there and do things again. But there is a middle ground that could have been found here that the show doesn't land. Like, they don't thread the needle. I think that they miss the mark with this one. And I get, like, I think it's because they are restricted to a set runtime. They can't get too complicated with this kind of thing. But, like, where this ends doesn't feel great to me. Like, like Arnold's attitude the whole episode is weird coming from him. Like, normally he is such an empathetic character, and he doesn't see it from Sid's perspective at all. Like, no one really does. And also, where are Sid's parents? Like, I forgot that he had parents until the fishing trip episode where you mentioned that Sid's father shows up. I'm like, he does have a dad. What are his parents doing in this? Like it's, I think this would have been better if, like, Sid had a thought about, like, some other thing about, like, a very specific disease that is born from frogs. And then he realizes, like, oh, you can't get that. Like, I remember seeing an episode of The X-Files when I was a kid and being terrified about killer bees coming from Africa to kill me, like, specifically me. And then it's like, you realize, like, that's not realistic. Like, sure, those dangerous things are out there in the world, but, like, they're not here. You're not going to run into a piranha in the community center pool, Dan. Maybe you will. Maybe you'll run into the puppets from Puppet Master in there. I used to have very vivid fears about the puppets from Puppet Master dragging me into the pool and drowning me. And let me tell you, that's not a scene in the movie. I made that up. But I don't know. I'm going to throw it over to someone else, because I think I'm just repeating myself now.
No, you're getting into some good. You're getting into some good nuance that I think is worth getting into with this episode. And I like where the episode ended up, because it people are, you know, happily ever after. It's a good image to go out on, where Sid overcame his thing and he's got frogs They're animated very cutely.
Got those frogs in his mouth. Great place to end.
Yeah, which is weird because it's a frog catching competition, not like a frog. Like nobody's ever said he had to put them in his mouth. It's a weird thing that they. Also weird to your point, Dan. The fourth graders beat Wolfgang and friends like in football a couple seasons ago. It's very strange of Arnold to be like, football, that's so two seasons ago. We need to beat them in catching frogs. That's what we got to do.
It starts with Stinky being like, I don't know if we're going to win this one. Wolfgang and his buddy are going to join this competition. It's like these guys barely catch any frogs and they have a net and they're just,
yeah.
It's like these guys are chumps.
They are chumps, and to the point of falling into armchair director, which it might be necessary for this episode because it's sad. More we talk about it, the more I realize it does satisfy a lot of things, at least for me. But the fact that this show operates within a set of rules and constraints, where and we've gone over time and time again, there are certain lines that we're not going to be able to cross. There are certain ways in which we won't be able to be like fully satisfied, where like an episode doesn't feel as like realized or radicalized as we might want from our, you know, modern day sensibilities. It would be really cool if Sid was able to like overcome his fear of germs and like get to a place where he can still maybe fear them, but just realize like, hey man, don't put frogs in your mouth and like take a shower after you catch frogs. Like use a net. Don't dive in head first. Don't dive in with your mouth open. Don't do these things. Enter the contest as like a solo participant. Dan and I had sort of a fun little conversation in the margins here of like, you know, Sid and Arnold putting the teams on their backs and like, why can't Arnold catch a bunch of frogs? Sid should have entered as his own team and just like, you know what, Arnold and Stinky and Harold, y'all were not supportive of me in my arc. The arc of this episode that we were just in. Did you watch the episode? I went through a whole thing. You weren't supportive of me. I'm going to go on and win this contest by myself because I'm a based athlete and I fear germs and you're going to have to deal with it. That would be a really cool thing. Again, talking about A1 versions of these episodes. That would be really cool. There's no way that's ever going to happen because everybody has to feel, you know, everybody involved with the episode, Sid, as well as all of his friends need to feel like, you know, we got to meet somewhere. There's got to be some kind of like thematic compromise, which in retrospect is maybe a little frustrating. But yeah, to your point, this episode plays a lot differently. In 2023, the levels of sympathy and like ways in which we're able to empathize with these characters, all of that plays a lot differently. And I think that's a pretty fair variable to throw in here.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know that I totally disagree with you guys, but I really like where this episode ends up. I guess I really like that Sid bounces back to being a good old fashioned dirty boy. I think that like for me, this episode, or at least what really struck me about it back in the day and now, is that in a weird way, it's kind of about like childhood trauma resiliency, in that like, I remember distinctly this feeling that Emily and I had talked about where it's like every time I learned something new as a child, not even necessarily something new that really like threw me or really scared me or whatever. The thing about learning back then when you're still developing is it feels like everything is going to change you forever. And that's really scary, right? Like that was, and I think we've talked about it on the podcast before, right? But like as an adult, it's almost something I kind of miss, right? Because like, in my day-to-day experience, I no longer have the sort of, or it's very unlikely that I will experience something that is so sort of fundamentally rocks me to my core that it feels like an existential threat to who I am. Whereas I felt like that happened to me on average about three times an hour when I was 9 years old, right? So I really like big dramatic swings like that, that depict that element of childhood experience. But for the actual child experiencing it, it wasn't the sort of like wistful, nostalgic feeling that I have for that experience, right? Because I remember that what I thought was going to change me forever didn't actually, right? That I was able to snap back. And within 48 or 72 hours, I wasn't worried about, you know, what have you, amoebas in water. Bad example, because I still freak out about that a little bit. But or germs or the BFG or spiders laying eggs in my stomach while I sleep, or any number of those things. And I could go back to just being who I was. And so there's something like very comforting to me about the idea that at the end of this episode, Sid sort of resets to the point where he can still be the person he was before. And so I wonder, I get it. I kind of like the idea that there would be a change. I think that in a show like this and in an episode like this, there's something more comforting about defaulting back to exactly where he was, with the sort of knowledge that like he has learned something and experienced something, right? Clearly, it's just that doesn't have to be something that upsets his entire sort of personality the way that Arnold said. So I don't disagree. I would especially like to have seen Sid enter the contest on his own, and then maybe like had some exchange between Gerald and Arnold where Gerald is like, you couldn't have like got him to come back on our team or something. So, cause I think that would have been really funny. But yeah, I don't know. I love Sid, and I love that he recovers the way that he does here.
Yeah, I really like everything you were saying just now, Harry, calling it like a trauma resiliency sort of ep in a way. But I also think that the episode still lands in a way that like the message is almost overcorrecting for itself, and kind of the episode sort of ends with like germs, they're everywhere. Embrace germs, like, which doesn't make a whole lot of sense. I just feel like the writers maybe did a little bit of overcorrecting for those types of videos the teachers will show actual kids in class, to the point that it's like, I don't know, it's funny, but you do need some fear of germs, at least in a pandemic.
Yeah, I agree. Like, I get where you're coming from, Harry, with this, and especially because like Harry, you and Cody have said, like, this show kind of is based on some set rules, and like you always kind of have to return to the status quo at the end of an episode. Like, you can't change things too dramatically because it's not episodic. It's sort of a format where like you may be able to have like some sort of gradual changes like you see with Helga throughout the course of the series, but you're not going to see like a radical shift in her personality. She's still going to be protective of her secret crush on Arnold to the extent that she's going to break into another person's home and, assault them in the middle of the night. Just for an example. I do love the beginning of this episode of Simmons wheeling out the TV and the projector and just being like his pitch of just being like, I'm sorry to disappoint you kids, but we got to watch a video today, which is the best feeling. Like that feeling, like I felt so much joy just hearing that line. And it's a thing that made me just wonder, like, why do you guys think that Simmons had to show a video that day? What was Simmons doing? Like, because I know now, not as a child, that usually teachers would do that if they were hungover or they didn't get prepared.
Right.
You think Simmons went to that karaoke bar?
That's exactly what I was going to say. He was there with Principal Wartz too late, right? He had spent the entire night doing karaoke with Principal Wartz, and he forgot to draw up a lesson plan about germs, and so he was going back through the old teacher's archives that all teachers have access to, and he pulled out that old Rod Serling 1950s PSA that he was going to hit the kids with, and he didn't realize what a traumatic experience it was going to be for Sid. So sort of a lesson for Mr. Simmons too.
True. I was trying to think of ways, the karaoke bar is a good theory. I was trying to think of ways, like what would Mr. Simmons's idea of, or like his version of like a crazy night, like what would that be? It's like, maybe he had like too much kombucha or something. And then, he left his 4K steelbook of Gattaca at home. And so like when bio time comes around, he's like, well, I got this off brand, video, this like Walmart branded video about germs. It's 4.5 minutes long. It's gonna scare the bejesus out of these kids.
Why not? He was driving to he was on his motorcycle heading to the classroom, and he's just like, I forgot Gattaca. Oh, no.
I think
he stops at a gas station and just finds like a
bargain
reel
bin
of film
just
in like the bargain bin.
Right.
Just like, oh, okay.
Man, name dropping Gattaca is the most tell me you went to public school without telling me you went to public school thing I've ever heard.
Also, that movie rips.
That movie's the best.
It's good. I think I revisited it like within the past year or two because I was like, we watched this in ninth grade, and is it good because we did it instead of actually learning? I need to know for sure. It turns out that I think it's actually good.
It's Jude Law and Ethan Hawke, isn't it?
It is.
Correct, and Uma Thurman.
And Uma Thurman? Oh, wow. The Uma Thurman does rock.
Yeah, Jude Law. Wow. Cinematic parallels. Remember he was at the top of the episode? Remember Jude Law? Any other shout outs from this episode? Shout out to the frogs. That's all I have.
Shout out to Gattaca of putting the thought in my head that you can cut off your ankles and surgically grow a little bit taller, which I think is a thing that some people in Hollywood will
try
to do.
Is that what you did, Dan?
That's exactly how I became 6'4". Yes.
Oh, come on. You're pushing 8 feet, buddy. Come on.
I know. Well, now I am. I'm trying to become the BFG so I could come into Harry's window.
And get me. Yeah. You have to grow your nails super long, too. For whatever reason, the idea that he had like really long Coke nails was like specifically what freaked me out so much about the giant. I already mentioned it, but shout outs to Rod Serling. They like were very clearly doing a Rod Serling voice for the Germ video, and I thought that was hilarious. Shout out to how deeply, deeply frightening Sid's nightmare is. The nightmare that, again, was given to him directly by Arnold, right? Like, he had that nightmare because Arnold stole into his home and freaked him out about germs, which is what he needed in the end to have this sort of dark night of the soul and come out the other end having mastered the germs. My favorite line in the entire episode is when the Rod Serling guy goes, "The germs are your masters." And he's like, dance for the germs, Sid. Really good stuff there. So shout outs to that. Shout outs to just how terrifying the germs looked in that, especially the little larva ones that crawled in through the corners and stuff. Deeply frightening stuff.
Especially in black and white. I have some messy notes from this one, but so I think this is a line from this episode, but maybe not. But shout out to Edmund of Wolfgang and Edmund saying, "I'm a curious, interested person to Wolfgang." I hope that's from this episode, Sid and Germs. If not, it's a shout out for whichever episode is from. And then lastly, shout out to Cody for shouting out himself in the last episode.
Thank you, Emily. One other resolution I had for myself in 2023 was to you know, show a little self-love. You know, just shout myself out because I'm worth it.
You know what, Cody? That's a really, really good resolution.
That's a good resolution.
Yeah, so
No. Great. I'm taking the role of Sid in this alt version of Sid and Germs that I
cooked
up. Cody, don't
I'm
going to enter the 2023 resolutions competition as my own team. Clean up.
I'm just saying,
wipe the slate with the rest of the competition. Screw all y'all.
One out of
Cody 2023, baby.
One out of two ain't bad. It is technically an F if we were grading it in the sort of school standards. But
I'm a firm believer in partial credit. I'm always saying this.
Yeah, you know, heads or tails.
He's got the pickle thing, so like he's got us beat now.
Heads is learn to love yourself. Tails is eat a big pickle. And you know, you got to keep flipping that coin. And one of these days, you'll land on heads, buddy.
In the words of somebody this episode, I did not correctly annotate it, but I ought to make you eat a fist sandwich. That's my last shout out for the episode. Really well done, everybody, especially the frogs and the pickles. The Pickle Mafia, shout outs to the Pickle Mafia. Shout outs to Dan for joining us for another wild but extremely fun and worthwhile episode. Thank you for making us talk about germs and mannequin heads and all that good stuff, Dan, for twisting our arm and making us talk about these things. But the people are clamoring. They need to know, since you're the people's champ, they want to know where they can find you and what you got going on, what plugs you got, things like that.
Well, yeah, thank you so much for having me on. I'm sure that this conversation on this episode would have not touched on mannequin heads or pickles in any way, and so you know, as the people's champ, as a pro mafia, pro pickle mafia representative. I just want to say the pickle mafia, and people can find me on Twitter at a Dapper Dan Man. You can find me at most places as either a Dapper Dan Man or at Dan Nagin on places like Letterboxd or you know, Instagram. You know, my brain is blanking because Cody's giving me a knowing smile because I never know. I never know my plugs.
No, you don't.
Because I can't get my name on places. A person emailed me recently, or not emailed me. No, this wasn't an email. They sent me a message on Discord to be like, "Hey Dan, do you play Anthem?" And I'm like, "No, I don't.
Nobody plays Anthem.
No
what?
One plays Anthem." But he was just like, "Oh, I found a guy on here named a Dapper Dan Man," and then I was like, "He stole my name." It's like everyone takes this name. It's ridiculous. I can't get it anywhere. Find me on my podcast, Everything We Learned. You can find me on some episodes of a great little rough, scrappy podcast called Try Love. I was on a recent episode where I completely derailed it, if you would believe it.
In the best way, as always.
I do.
Thank you. But yeah, thank you for having me on. It's a delight. This was a real highlight for the week. When you reminded me of it recently, I was just like, oh yes, this is great. And it was a delight to get to watch it on Paramount Plus, where I have a subscription, so I can watch Star Trek stuff.
Hey, there you have it. I'm just sad that the highlight of your week occurred this early because, spoilers, dear listeners, we're recording this on a Monday. So here's to brighter pastures ahead. Here's to living our best days every day as much as possible. Make 2023 your year, dear listener. In the meantime, thank you for listening to Stoop Kids, a Hey Arnold podcast. You can follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Stoop Kids Pod. And that's kids with a Z. This episode was produced by super producer Jason Daphnis, and you can find him on Twitter at Nintendoofus. I've been Cody Narvis, and you can find me on Twitter at Cody_BH.
I'm Harry Mackin, and I'm going to go eat a pickle.
And I'm Emily Suey. You can find me on Instagram at Emily Suey.
No frogs or pigs were harmed in the making of this podcast.
Cody, I found something real nice for you. Here's a link.
Oh, no. Is Emily going to dunk on me now, too? Let's see. What are we doing?
This is what Eric... Oh, my God. This is what Cody needs to eat.
We do need to watch him eat this.
This is what it
let
has
me,
to be.
Here's the thing. Let me get a sense of what a banana split is like in its OG form, and then I will gladly pivot to the... I'll pivot to the pickle.
Okay.
I think I can do that.
And this okay. one, this one's not safe for work. Here we go.
Good. Ooh. Well, thankfully, I'm clocked out for the
oh
day.
Oh, my God.
Oh. Oh, Christ.
Whoa. That's too much dill.
Just some inspo. I could get a mood board going.
I was going to say, I'll add it to my Pinterest.
For the Twitter.
Oh, man. Oh, yeah. God. Yeah, we'll have to... Keep them updated on the Pickle Quest 2023.
I've got my banana split tweet locked, stocked, and two smoking barreled for when I bust out the banana split. I'm going to film myself.
Excellent.
It's going to go out. I'm going to go viral. It's going to happen.
And I can't wait.
Pickle in it. And I'm going to win Dan's dollar.
This dollar has, it's. I'm just going to put a note on it for Cody.
for Cody banana split.
Cool. And if we could keep the if we can get the pickle chat to a minimum in episode B,
great.
Also, yes. This one goes out to the Pickle Mafia. For those listening, shout outs. Alrighty, I will start talking again at we do need that pickle engagement. I will start talking again at 3602.